welcome back to the show. If you are like me, you like control. You're a little bit of a control freak, and you wished you had more control. And my guest, Jennifer Dukes Lee, has written a book called It's All Under Control, which is a very comforting thought. And she has always struggled with control. And she said that after she was a fully surrendered follower of Christ, as long as everything went exactly the way she wanted it to, she was totally flexible. Isn't that kind of how we all feel at times? So, Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Well, it is so fun to be here.
Yeah.
Freaks unite. Recovering control freaks
totally.
Unite.
Totally. I was snickering because that's so funny. As long as everything is perfect the way you want it, you're totally flexible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have a problem with that.
No, that's usually what a lot of people deal with, is they think that they're going to be flexible, but they're really not, are they?
Yeah, I know. It's hard because we want to plan out our lives. We want to make sure that we've got all the safety nets. We want to make sure that things go our own way. If we're parents, we want our kids to be safe, so we put plans in place for them. We want to be promoted at the job. We want to move into the next level of car, the next level of house, and so we set up all of our plans. And then when things don't happen exactly as we had planned, as they rarely do, it is not a good situation. Mm-hmm. You know, that saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So, Jennifer, did you have some of your own personal little struggles that you were dealing with every day that prompted you to say, you know, I should write this down in a book?
It's like my whole life.
Okay.
My whole life is one long string of making decisions based on feeling the need to wrap my hands tightly around everything, my plans and my preferences, and then my children. So, yeah, it's been a lifelong struggle, and one that, you know, quite frankly, I still struggle with. So as I wrote a book about control, I was living it, you know. I mean, it's something that I think that we all struggle with, especially in a society that values self-sufficiency so much in our culture.
Well, let me ask you where you learned this, first of all.
Where I learned that I was a control freak?
Yes. Did your parents model this, and did you learn this through your family, or how?
Well, you know, I don't know that it was a learned behavior, and I think really all of us, to some degree or another, want control. And as people have started to read my book, I'm getting responses consistently like, I had no idea. I had no idea how much this was an issue for me as well. And so for me, I have, even though I'm the third of four children in our home, I'm almost like a firstborn because there was such a great gap between the older two children and the younger two children. In fact, my grandpa used to call me and my little brother the late hatch. And because of that gap, I had a lot of firstborn tendencies. So pretty type A. If you pay any attention to the Enneagram, I'm definitely an Enneagram 3 with achiever tendencies, kind of driven, want to get things done. And so I was looking the other day at an autobiography that I had written when I was a sixth grader. It was an assignment in our English class, write an autobiography, talk about your past, and predict your future. And in that autobiography, I said that I had my whole life planned out, how many kids I would have, what I would do for work, and the fact that I would live until I was 105 years old. And what I read attached to that was a letter from my teacher, Mrs. Huseman, and she said, Jennifer, you are a very busy girl, and you have your life all specked out, is the word she used. But be careful, because you have a perfectionist quality about you, and always remember that there's tomorrow. And so even as a 12-year-old girl, this desire to control and manage outcomes was emerging. I didn't see it as dangerous. I saw it as being something that would help me achieve the goals that I set out to achieve. But what happens is you get into your 30s and 40s and you look back on your life and you realize this is a really exhausting way to live. I need to live another way. I'm tired of trying to manage all this and feel like it's all on me. A kind of woman who says yes to everything, very busy, over hustling, a nagging fear about the future. Like all of these things just began to weigh so heavily on me, and I knew it needed to stop.
Mm. Jennifer, I want to ask you about, you know, when you try to manage outcomes, that makes you crazy, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. And that clashes with really a life of faith in God, because we're trusting God in his sovereignty, and we're expecting, you know, as we surrender our lives to him, he's in control. And yet we walk around with more opportunities for control in our lives than ever before. I mean, I don't ever get lost anymore, really, because I have GPS. You know, that used to be such high anxiety for me, where I'd pull into a gas station and buy a map. You know, and I'd still be lost, and it wouldn't help. And, you know, if you want to check your bank statement at midnight, you can do that. There's so many things you have in life. I mean, just digitally now, we can have access to things we couldn't never before, and you would think that would create calm and peace, but it doesn't, does it? It makes us actually more weary and anxious.
That's exactly right. That's such a key point in the book that I spell out, is that we've become this really scarily self-sufficient. We manage our lives instead of living them. Mobile devices to track the kids,
right?
Pain management for whatever hurts. And it just, yet you look at the statistically, Americans are among the most anxious people in the world. And it's, we say we trust God. And I think one of the most startling observations for me as a Christian, when I really got honest with myself, is this realization that I didn't really trust God as much as I said I did, even as a woman in ministry, that I wanted to manage all the outcomes, even in ministry. And I realized I was living by fear instead of by faith. And I knew that in order to really live the life of faith that God was calling me to, I was going to have to let go of what I had my hands around. God cannot put into closed fists anything. So I had to open my hands so that I could really receive what God wants to put into my hands.
Mm-hmm. So Jennifer, you know, everything with cars today are computer oriented. So you take your car in and it gets hooked up into the computer. So at a certain point, when we do a diagnostic on how we're doing with controlling our busyness, how do we know if we're stuck, if we're really in this cycle of being too controlling or too busy? How do we do a diagnostic?
I have something that I call a control code continuum, and you can go look at it for free on my blog if you want, or it's in the back of the book. But this tool helps you determine what zone you're in. If you're in a healthy place, a place where you need to be cautious, if you've hit some sort of unhealthy zone, or if you are in the danger zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so you take a look at things like, am I resenting those who don't pull their weight? Do I have difficulty shaking worrisome thought patterns? Do I occasionally feel worthless? What are my sleep patterns like? So you go through these questions and determine where you're at. It takes a very honest and sober assessment of where you're at to help you figure out if you're in a healthy zone or if you've moved into the danger zone. And I think that's important for all of us to do frequently, is take a self-inventory of our lives and also get honest with ourselves before God about how we're sleeping, how we're operating day to day, analyzing everything that's on our plate, all the things that we've said yes to and feel that we have to be responsible for, all the things that we feel like we have to be in control of, and take that before the Lord and figure out how healthy are we really.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Dukes-Lee is my guest, and we're going to take a little break. When we come back, Jennifer, I want to ask you about, you suggest taking God off your to-do list, which seems counterintuitive. So I'm going to ask you, why do you make that suggestion? We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. My guest on our studio line is Jennifer Dukes-Lee. She is the author of The Happiness Dare and Love Idol. She's a blogger, a writer for Dayspring, a speaker. She does just about everything. Her book that we're discussing today is called It's All Under Control, A Journey of Letting Go, Hanging On, and Finding a Peace You Almost Forgot Was Possible. And right before we went to break, Jennifer, I was curious. You do suggest taking God off your to-do list, and that seems that's going to make some people uncomfortable. Maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, it sounds really absurd.
It does. Yes.
Yeah. So for me, what life with Jesus sometimes looks like, because I'm a list maker, I would literally put God at the top of my list. Like, make sure you spend time with God today. Make sure you put in your 15 or 30 minutes today in the Bible, praying, listening to worship music. And what I found happened is that I would put a neat little X in that box and I would move on and I would wait to encounter God the next day during that time slot. And it became a dangerous way to live, where Jesus sort of felt boxed off from my everyday life and from my everyday work, from my life vocationally, from my life as a parent. And so one way of looking at this is, like, you know, we talk a lot about how Christ is in us, which is totally true. But the bigger truth is that we are in Christ, okay? So hold that thought for a moment, because the same principle ought to apply to our to-do list. We are not, God is not an item on our list. Our list is in the hands of God. And so everything is made in partnership with God. The things that I'm doing, the way that I parent, the way that I respond to emails, what decisions I make about the doctor that I'm going to see next week, how I'm going to respond when my adult parents and my aging parents need help with some things in their lives. Like, if we take God off our to-do list and hand him the whole thing, it's like a strategic spiritual switcheroo. It's saying, God, you hold all things together. You can handle everything on my list. You aren't just a piece of the list. You're the holder of it. And so for me, that has been transformational, in the sense that he's involved in, I hope, I'm inviting him in to every aspect of my life. Because if I don't, to be quite honest, I start playing God instead of partnering with him.
That's really good, Jennifer. You know, we all talk about being busy. You know, isn't that like the stock response? Hey, how you doing? Oh, I've been busy. And it just doesn't seem to mean anything anymore. It's like, okay, you're important. I get it. Maybe that's why I haven't heard from you. But how do we go from being busy and start being more productive?
Yeah, so I talk a lot about moving from busy to best. I think that we all recognize that when people ask us how we're doing, we're like, oh, I'm crazy busy. And we use that as an excuse for a lot of things. We use it almost like in a spiritual pride sort of way, like, look how busy I am.
Right.
But the thing that I would pitch out to people is the busiest person in all of history made time for rest. And that person was Jesus. He was without a doubt the busiest person that's ever walked the earth. There was always some demon that needed to be expelled from a person. There was always a crowd that needed teaching. There was always a person that needed healing. There was always something to be done. But the busiest man to walk the earth found time to rest. Every day, Jesus was pulled in so many different directions. But what I love is that before deciding which way to go, he had intentionally dwelt in the presence of God. And surely that time with the Father helped Jesus prioritize. It helped him figure out what to do, what his work assignments do. And we know that Jesus didn't just leave the Father, you know, right there at the top of his to-do list, but God went with him. You see him repeatedly lifting his hands to heaven, thanking God before he was about to do the work that he set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in alignment with the Father, and he partnered with him.
So that brings me to my next question, that if we look at the model that Jesus gave by, you know, doing ministry and then getting away and restoring, how do we learn to say no, and I need help?
Oh, I need help is the big one, right?
Yeah,
I think
that it
is even harder than no, right? We're so self-sufficient, and there's a whole bunch of reasons that we don't. So I think the first thing we have to do is figure out, why don't we ask for help? And one of the reasons that we don't ask for help is because we're afraid other people are going to mess it up. Another reason we don't ask for help is because we're pretty self-sufficient. A lot of people are used to being the helper, not the helpee, and they're worried about how that kind of turns the tables. If mm-hmm. I have to suddenly have somebody's help, how difficult that can be to ask for someone's mm-hmm. help. And so, again, Jesus shows us how this is done. You know, he asked the Samaritan woman for a drink of water. He asked the disciples to help him feed a meal to about 5,000 or more people on a hillside.
Mm-hmm.
He accepted the help of Simon to carry his cross.
Yeah.
And so if Jesus accepted help in carrying his cross, then why do we have such a hard time in allowing people to help us carry ours? And I've constantly been the helper. I've rarely been the helped. And because of that, I have experienced great burnout. And I feel that going through this process of figuring out that it's all under God's control, that's one of the biggest things I learned, is ask for help.
So, Jennifer, if you're the helper, then you are, to some degree, in control. And
yeah.
also, I think, if you are consumable, you will be consumed.
Yeah, that's true.
About burnout. And because you're going to be generous with your time and you're going to say yes to a lot of people and help them, which is always great. But if you're consumable, you know, call Jennifer. She'll help you. And
that's
then,
right.
And then 12 people call Jennifer. Then Jennifer's got nothing in the tank and she's burned out and irritable and tired and has spent no time with the Lord.
That's right. Like the saying goes, if you want something done, ask a busy woman to do it.
Totally.
Or a busy man to do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we are consistently, and we do it not always out of like, I want to have my hands in everything and I'm this weird narcissist, this controller who wants to have it done my way. A lot of times, I mean, a huge reason that we say yes to all this stuff is because we love so deeply. We want to be there for our family, so we say yes. We want to be there for our friends, so we get up at 3 a.m. and take them to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be there for our church, so we get on one more committee. We want to be there for our community, so we're out there raking leaves on Saturday morning with everybody else. We want to help and help and love harder still. And some days, it means that the last person that you end up taking care of is yourself.
You know, and then I think of the times Jesus asked for help, like in the Garden of Gethsemane. Would you stay up and pray with me? And they went, nah, I think I'm going to crash.
Yeah.
You know, even he put himself in a place of vulnerability asking for help and didn't get it.
Wow, that's a powerful, powerful point. And, you know, I think that is one of the reasons that people don't ask for help, because they're afraid that somebody will say no. They have asked for help in the past and people haven't come through. I had a friend of mine this morning. She's in her 20s and she's single, and she needed to go in for surgery this morning. And she asked many friends to help her, to take her to the hospital, sit with her in the waiting room, wait for her until she got out of surgery. And everybody was too busy. They couldn't help her. And so she had to go alone. And, you know, as she grows older into her 30s and 40s, I hope that she will ask again for what she needs. But that can really be, you know, heartbreaking and devastating to put your heart out there and be told no.
That can be a door closer where you go, I'm never going to put myself in that position again.
That's right.
I mean, we fear rejection. And then when we get it, it's like, oh, I'm not going down that road again. And it gets worse. And then there's more isolation and sadness. So, yeah, it's a tough one. You've really hit a nerve here, Jennifer. You know, because if we're gonna live surrendered to God, and that's the goal we all have here, I think, let's figure out the best way we can start living that way and remind our listeners, how can we better live that way?
That's right. You know, I think that I take people through a process in some training that I do and also in the book. It's called Do, Delegate, Dismiss. And it really helps people figure out what they need to delegate, what they need help with, what they need to just dismiss. Maybe that thing that they've been doing for years that really isn't theirs to do anymore, so that they can really do the things that God has asked them to do, to really shine at the things that God created them for that fit uniquely with their purpose. And so Do, Delegate, Dismiss is a great technique to walk through in order to figure out how to be the best you.
Yeah, it makes no sense for an open heart surgeon to do ear piercing at the mall.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we do have to be intentional and figure out how God is gifting us and how we should be best used. And when you talk about do, delegate, or dismiss, maybe just expand that a little bit more, because that's really, I love alliterations.
Okay. So do are the things that God has called you to do.
Perfect.
And we want you to do those well. But if you're saying yes to so many things and you've agreed to do so many, you can't really do any of them well. You're kind of getting like a C minus at everything. We want you to be an A or B at all the things that you can do. So we want you to do what you're called to do, which means that you have to do the hard work of delegating, asking for help, maybe even hiring help if you need to. When I wrote this book, I had to set aside some funds to have somebody come and clean my house. Otherwise, this book was not going to get written.
Mm-hmm.
Because I needed to do that, I needed to delegate and get some housework done. And there were some things that I simply had to dismiss. I've had in the past a pretty busy speaking calendar, but while I was writing a book, I had to simply dismiss. And they were really great opportunities. The hard part about dismissing is knowing that you will disappoint people when you do that. There's just no way around it, especially if you've consistently said yes to people in the past. And the belief that you've disappointed someone feels shameful. And so that's a lot of reason why people keep saying yes, is because they don't like that feeling of shame. And so what I say to people who have a hard time dismissing things is to remember Jesus dismissed and he disappointed people too. There's a story in Mark 1 where Jesus didn't stick around when people wanted him to stay and heal. Jesus disappointed religious leaders when he dined with sinners. He disappointed people when he showed up late at the tomb of Lazarus. So Jesus disappointed people too. So you're in good company, but you have to be able to dismiss some things in order to do what God has really called you to do.
Yeah, you think of the life of Jesus in the authorities wanted him dead, and his friends found him confusing, and his family, you know, thought he was kind of nuts. So it's
yep.
It's like, yeah, you've got there's the control issues. You know, we're all a little bit of that. I mean, there's certain people that, you know, look at us and think we're nuts. But that's we just do it. We just try to get out and serve the Lord every day.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I think it's important as we go through that process to know who you are.
Yeah.
It's so tempting to tie our worth to our ability to get things done, right?
Yes.
But if you have a clear sense of purpose and identity in Christ, you are able to say no without letting it prescribe something negative about your worth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important that we take time every day to affirm our truest identity, the one we have in Jesus.
Yeah. Jennifer, I'm going to give you a free cleaning tip because you were talking about the anxiety of having a dirty house and getting a cleaning lady. My free cleaning tip is the more stuff you have on the floor, the less vacuuming you have to do. So that just gives you a chance to shorten the workload around the house.
That's brilliant.
Thank you.
I feel like this has been a life-changing half hour for me.
You know, thank you, because I think of you as Jenny D. Lee, because I got kind of a nickname for you now. You know,
actually, it is my nickname.
Jenny
I'm
D.
DJ
Lee?
Jenny Lee at my church.
You're Jenny Lee at church?
DJ Jenny Lee. I'm the church DJ.
That's spectacular.
I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, and just in the minute we have left, DJ Jenny Lee, tell us where you live and how you about your life.
Yep, I live in Northwest Iowa. I'm a farmer's wife. I have two children, a husband who raises corn and soybeans and pigs, and we go to a church out here in the country, and that's where I'm the DJ. Some Sundays you'll find me there spinning tunes and projecting the lyrics up on the big screen so we can praise Jesus together out here amidst the cornfield.
Yeah, spectacular. Thank you so much. It's been really fun having you on the show, and congratulations on your book.
Thanks so much.
Yep. We'll take a short break and wrap up the show in just a minute.